We have a quorum, and I'd like to call the Environmental Services Advisory Committee, Subcommittee Waste Diversion Collections and Education meeting to order. It's Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. Let's go to roll call. And might as well just go down the line. Margo Garcia,
Here.
Fred Ariza,
Here.
Doug Jennings,
Here.
and Trevor.
Here.
Okay. All right. So I wasn't quite sure how we were going to start this. I know Ian had mentioned something about listening to our meeting first, and then you guys would go come on and talk about Plan Tucson, or you can go at the beginning here. So we have an option for you.
I would love to go at the beginning. I'm prepared with a very brief presentation, and then I was going to go through goal 8, which is where most of the waste management topics come into play. That's our like environmental quality goal. And
Okay.
I was just going to go very briefly through that because I'm not sure how much time's allotted to me. And then I have a slide prepared that shows the feedback we've gotten so far, but I'd also like to hear your reactions to it, if you have anything to share, and I can answer any questions that you have as well. I know we were going to present to you guys, or we had tried to present, but there was just a scheduling holiday snafu. And so even though our formal comment period was over on the 31st, like given that we tried and didn't connect, I'd be happy to take any feedback that you guys share now and incorporate it into the draft as best as I can. But if that doesn't happen, if there's not enough time for a real conversation, we'll be releasing a revised draft, and then the next time to comment will be at public hearings. And I can go over all of that. But that's what I had prepared. And I think the only thing that would be helpful to me is to know a little bit more concretely how much time you would like me to spend on this. I don't know. I know you have a big
Well,
agenda.
we have an hour and a half to go through our agenda, and I didn't know if you guys would want to listen to our some of our the parts that are presented by ESAC staff during this meeting, you know.
Yeah, I can stay on and
Right.
listen, but with
Yeah.
the Planning Commission, Plan Tucson's on the agenda with Planning Commission immediately after this, so I would prefer, if it's okay with you, to do the presentation part at the beginning. That way, if I need to leave to get there on time, I can.
Okay, fine. All right. Well,
But I'll be
let's.
listening and paying attention and incorporating everything I can into the, it's important to me.
Okay. So we'll start with you,
Thank
right?
you.
Okay. So item two, the Plan Tucson presentation. And you're on.
All right, so I'll just share my screen. Thanks for bearing with me. There's always the inevitable. Oh,
And I
this.
didn't introduce you, Amanda Smith.
Okay, I can
There
introduce
you
myself.
go. Okay.
And it looks like screen sharing is disabled. Would it be possible to share a screen?
Yeah, I just made you a co-host.
Oh, great. Okay, oh, yeah. Look, there that is. Okay, great. All right, well, you already have had a partial introduction to me. My name is Amanda Smith. I work for City of Tucson Planning and Development Services Department. I'm a lead planner there. I've been working on Plan Tucson, the city's general plan. We've been updating it over the last 3 years. And so I'll be giving a very high-level overview of the plan. We have a preliminary draft out right now, but I'll be doing a deeper dive into the goal 8, which is part of chapter 3 that focuses on environmental quality, and then answering any questions and taking any comments that you have. I'm joined by Eric Beaver, our amazing intern, who will be helping take notes to so everything that you say will be recorded on our end. So thank you for that. I will now share. Okay. And then we'll go full screen so you can all see it. All right. Let me know if you are not seeing the full size. But I just wanted to say, thank you for having me here, but also thank you all for taking the time to participate in this advisory committee. It's a big commitment, and I really just appreciate that you guys are spending time with us today, but also just in the big picture of your lives and the work that you do for on behalf of the city. Plan Tucson is the city's general plan. It's like a guiding vision. It is updated every 10 years. So the Plan Tucson that's currently on the books is from back in 2013. And we've been nicknaming this one Plan Tucson 2025 in the event that it gets voter approved and adopted this November. So this is just an overview of the roadmap for updating the plan. As I mentioned, we started a couple years ago in phase one, which was kind of getting the big picture lay of the land. The bulk of policy development and different conversations happened during phase two, where we were working with the community to identify goals, policies under each goal, and then also talking a lot about future growth in the community. And phase two ended with the draft of Plan Tucson that we call the preliminary draft. That was released in December of last year. And then we've been collecting feedback and working with the community, presenting to different folks during the month of January. And we are now incorporating all of those comments into a revised draft, which we'll be bringing to Planning Commission and then Mayor and Council in public hearings. That's another opportunity for people to give feedback. If and when Mayor and Council adopt Plan Tucson, that's the conclusion of phase three, and then we move into phase four, which is voter ratification, something that sets general plans apart from all the other variety of plans that we have at the city, is that ultimately voters are empowered to approve it, yes or no. So it'll be on the ballot in November of 2025. If it's approved with a majority, then it is put into place. And if it is not approved, then the plan from 2013 stays in effect. So the plan, and I'm only going to do a very high-level overview of the different chapters because I want to save our time to talk about goal five. I'm sorry, goal eight. But it's basically organized into five chapters. Introduction is very, general content about the role of the plan and things related to that sort of nature. And then Tucson Today, chapter two, are existing conditions and kind of telling Tucson's story. Chapter three is where the bulk of the plan lies, as well as chapter four. Chapter three includes 14 different goals, which I'll go over in a minute. And then each goal has a set of policies. Chapter four is where we're talking about the direction of our city in terms of land use and development. We know how many people are moving here. We know how many homes they'll need. We have an estimate of how many homes we are under production. And so, where are all of these going to go? And where are all the jobs and the services and the things to the community? So, all of that is addressed in chapter four. And then finally, chapter five touches on implementation. So these are the 14 goals. I've highlighted the keyword in each. We have goals on governance and equitability, climate resiliency and heat and energy, wellness, health and safety, housing, education, water management, promote a clean community and reduce the harmful effects of pollutants in our environment. That's the one we'll be talking about in depth today. Goal nine has a focus on ecosystems and open space. 10 is historic preservation and archaeological resources. 11 is arts and culture. 12 is economy. And then we have transportation as well as land use. And then I just wanted to touch on, this is the future growth scenario map draft that is in the plan as well, that I talked on about a little bit earlier. And so with that, I'm going to switch what I'm sharing and pull up goal eight of the plan. But before I do, I just wanted to show that after I read through the policies, I'm prepared. If you would like, I can give you a summary of everything we've heard so far, just to try to seed the conversation, or you guys can just tell me what you guys think. And if there's duplication, then that is absolutely okay. In some ways, that's nice because then it reinforces some things. So I'm going to stop sharing just so I can switch over to the plan.
And I think we'd like to hear what some other people have said, but I just wanted to let you know that several of us on ESAC have been attending
Yes.
all your meetings, so.
I recognize a lot of your names, and I remember getting emails from you, Chris, and reading them all. The reason I'm presenting instead of Ian was a lot was doing a lot of our like coordinating and organizing, but I was the one who has been like filtering and drafting and focusing on the sustainability goals. So I just put the link of to in the chat to our current draft, and I'm going to try and share my screen again. All right. So this is the page on our website that houses the draft, and I'm gonna scroll down here to chapter 3. And then we're gonna bear with me, do a lot of scrolling down to chapter 8, part 8. Okay. So I'm gonna just breeze through the narrative. The narrative's important. Oops, I'm not sharing my screen. I always forget that second button you have to click. All right. Oops. No. I'm really bad at sharing in Zoom because we never use Zoom. We always use Teams. I apologize for my clunkiness. Thanks for your patience. All right. That's the one I wanted. Okay. Goal 8. I'm going to skip through some of the narrative. The narrative's really important. It has a lot of information about the different roles of different departments. If you would like to spend more time on that, I absolutely can, but typically people want to focus more on the policies. But we do talk about waste and air pollution, air quality. Even though that's managed by Pima County, we were able to get some data from them about trends and conditions and challenges, noise pollution, data on the Air Force base zones. Implementation spotlights are pretty cool. These are highlighting some, though not all, of the other plans that we have at the city that relate to this topic and that get to a more tangible, detailed level. Light pollution and water quality. All right, and then the policies themselves. So I would be happy to read these aloud if that's helpful to you all. And just to interject if you would rather I just skip to what we've heard or if there's something else that you're needing.
Well, I think we've been through these,
Okay.
do you agree, Margot?
Well, the only thing I would say is that to look at what specifically is within sort of the purview of this group. And so I was trying to sort of scan
Yeah.
quickly. whoops, we
What
lost it
applies to
again.
us?
No, not there. Back, Amanda, where you were, where you go
Okay.
down through
Yeah.
the numbered pieces right
Yeah.
here.
Yeah.
So environment one doesn't really talk to us. Negative impacts. Well, we talk a lot about brush and bulky. I'm not sure if everybody else sees that in that. Waste, of course, that would be one to talk about perhaps with residents and businesses to prevent waste. We'd certainly like to see the department have more people to go to businesses and do waste audits and to do a lot more things. I wonder, does that really, when you read that, does that say to you, waste audits at small businesses?
And then four
Yeah.
and five and six. Do you think?
Deconstruction rather than demolition, right? So Amanda, back, these
Seven.
then are. What name are you giving to this group? I mean, we have the goal of the overall 8, and then these are strategies. These are what?
We call them policies in the plan.
Policies.
They're like
Okay.
overarching policy guidance is another way to think about them because it is not regulatory, but yeah, it's helping to encapsulate things that the community wants to see.
So it's encapsulating things the community wants to see. Okay, that's a useful lens. In six, for instance, promote preservation to be salvaged for reuse or recycling when feasible. Is there a place where any kind of implementation is talked about, or is that just the level at to which you're going?
Right. So, generally speaking, Plan Tucson is at a very high level. You can think of it as like the point on the horizon 10 years from now where we're trying to be. And then implementation, there's two ways to think about it. Like what specific strategic actions can be taken? Those are typically, though not always, listed in some of the other plans that the city has. That's why we have these implementation spotlights. I don't want to scroll up to them, but so for this case, the zero waste roadmap would be an example of where we would recommend people look for more specific actions that can be taken in order to achieve these different policies. And the reason for that is that the function of the general plan is that point on the horizon. This is where we're trying to go. Whether you're going to Argentina or Alaska on your road trip, that's what Plan Tucson is akin to. And then implementation is like, do you turn left or right out of the driveway? And those decisions about how you get there are really important conversations to have, but you need to have that point on the horizon first, is the way that I think about it. And so that's the reason some of these policies are written in a very broad way, is because there's also a lot of different ways to achieve that. And folks on this call who work for EGSD would be the ones who, with direction from mayor and council, who are better equipped in the moment, like with all the information in front of them at hand, to do those cost benefit analyses and figure out what strategies are best in order to achieve these kinds of policies. Does that help?
Well, it helped me. I can explain. I mean, I liked especially your example. Are we going to the North Pole or Argentina? Is a way of thinking about these. So, for instance, in seven, expand and outreach and partnerships to facilitate neighborhood cleanups. That's certainly something that is we get involved in terms of providing the container for people to use and how it gets picked up and how it gets dumped in the landfill and what the costs are and who's handling those costs. So the fact that that wants to be continued, I think, would be something we'd all support. I think. Brownfield and Superfield, we don't deal with so much in five. Four is something, I guess. Chris, do you want to pick up on four, the new technologies, education and partnerships, citywide waste reduction effort? I guess that's the zero waste plan. What else would
Yeah,
you
that's pretty
add?
much zero waste. You're just having the zero waste roadmap just kind of stand on its own, and you're just going to refer to that roadmap. Are you going to add any more detail to this from the roadmap?
We looked at the roadmap as so like a year and a half ago or so. We took all of the specific plans, including the zero waste roadmap, looked at any kind of policies or strategic guidelines and things that were already in place, already adopted by mayor and council, and then used those to inform the policies that you see here, which were then hashed out through conversations with some of you and many members of the community. And then the result is here. So, and then we would further moving into so all of those different plans, zero waste roadmap being one of them, informed the policies that you see here. And then when you move into implementation, we'll be looking to the zero waste roadmap and any other plans that are adopted by mayor and council to direct implementation for more specifics.
And I see you included the bifusion brick in the illustration. So,
That's a nice subtle hint.
It's a very big picture.
I know. There's lots
Yes.
of big pictures.
So
That's
I
for sure.
guess, the with some of the rest of you, since Chris and I have worked on some of these and talked to them on before.
Well, and Trevor, you
Trevor
can
did
jump in,
too.
and Doug was, you were there, right?
Doug or Fred, what do you, I mean, four kind of is the heart of what we do, three to some extent. What, how do you feel about three and four?
Are you talking about me particularly or anybody?
Yeah, man. Don't just that Chris and I monopolize the conversation.
Well, they seem to be working towards the same goals.
So when you read that, does it say to you what we do and talk about?
Yeah, for the most part, I think. Yeah. I mean, that's, it seems like it's pretty much in line with what we're talking about all the time.
I think the only thing that could be missing, it may be covered in another goal, but would be sort of how we deal with the code side of environmental and general services, and really more so on how the city approaches homelessness. And I don't know if that's somewhere else or if that needs to appear here or if it's already covered elsewhere, but.
Thank you for that feedback. Code enforcement, I think, is something we heard from a variety of people of like wanting to see strengthened. And so that's part of the. We haven't discussed any of this as a team, but I'm going to propose that we add a policy that has language akin to supporting and strengthening like code enforcement's ability to respond to like community, I don't know, complaints, needs. We obviously would need to wordsmith it, but that's a theme that I've seen come out of a lot of the feedback that we've gotten. So that's one thing we're going to be talking more on Friday with some of the staff on this call. So you're getting a little preview, Chris and Frank. And then as far as homelessness goes, there's a lot of policies in the housing section to support finding homes for the unsheltered community. But I don't think we talk about homelessness in explicit, like in context of cleanliness. And though I think that that's, yeah, I'm not sure. We could look into how we would do that, and especially if you have any, if you think we need to, how you would do that.
And let's see. Amanda, I did want to mention that, we just recently found out that code enforcement's going back to PDSD.
That's correct.
General services has been moved, so we're now just ESD. So you will have to
Yes.
change all that in Plan Tucson.
Yeah, thank you for making sure I saw that. I was aware. And
Okay.
yeah, I'll have to change the acronyms and just check that when we're talking about who does what in the narrative section that it's up to date.
I had one other question, and I think this is also outside of environmental services, but it sort of plays off of Environment 5 with Brownfield and Superfund. Is there any part of the plan that deals with emerging contaminants like PFAS?
That's a good question. I know we talk about it. I'm gonna zoom out a little bit because I'm gonna scroll. We discuss PFAS in the water quality section here. And then the way in that it's not explicit in any of the policies, but I think it would be a best fit in Environment 1
Okay.
and Environment 2. And possibly some others. And then there's a whole goal 7 focuses on water. But it's mostly about water supply and demand and less water quality. Water quality is more here in this goal.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how that would be fitting in. And if you think that that's adequate, you can let us know. If you think you'd want to see changes, you can let us know.
Okay. No, I think it's covered there. It's just in a, I think PFAS and any other emerging contaminants that come up in the next 10 years are in that weird space of like they're not in this brownfield or Superfund world, but they're certainly increasingly of concern in water pollution. But I think they're probably covered pretty well in that mitigation of water pollution with air and noise.
Yeah, that's something we could consider is adding that sort of language to Environment 5. But I'm not sure. I'll have to run that by their public information officer, make sure we're t using terms in the right way, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
The only other thing I want to Unless there's any other feedback, I did want to just give you guys a glimpse in case you missed it, that we organized Plan Tucson with in order to kind of acknowledge that there's intersections. We have some policies that sort of you could think, quote unquote, live in other areas. They're duplicated over here because they're highly relevant, even though their main focus is on land use. It has implications for environmental quality, maybe not within your purview of waste management. Necessarily, but you'll see that a lot in the plan. So I did want to give these some visibility because we consider them part of this goal, even though their keyword is a different goal. So there's another one there, Trevor, about water quality, related to your point on PFAS.
Okay, perfect.
And also six, impacts of developments and industries on public health really is the whole issue of when that company wanted to come in to sterilize equipment, medical equipment, and the materials that they were going to use would certainly look at the problem of six with the impact on the neighbors, surrounding neighborhoods, and how their waste and so forth was handled within this department. Nice picture.
Yeah, it's a nice one. It goes over two pages. It's very pretty.
Wow.
Would you any other comments right now, or would you like me to give you a summary of what we've heard, which I think will include some of what you guys have said and other things? I'd be happy to do that, or I could look at other sections of the plan. Even though you guys have a focus here on waste management, I'm open to hearing other concepts related to environmental services. I know you're a subcommittee, but you're a committee of this larger committee. So if you want to do that, Margo, I appreciate any feedback you want to offer within. And then
I
you guys
think,
just let me know if we're running out of time.
I mean,
Sure,
let's hear what other people have said. I would like to hear that.
yeah, I'd
okay.
like to hear some.
Sounds great. I will go ahead and share my other screen here. All right, cool. So again, this is just what we've heard. We want more pollutants called out by name, adding impacts about light pollution. There's a lot of information there already about it, the impact on astronomy and astrotourism, but they wanted to add more information about how that impacts human and animal health. Talking more about surface water quality, and highlighting for informational purposes that stormwater doesn't go to treatment centers. Increasing support for code enforcement. Be clear that zero waste means a 90% reduction in waste and to strengthen waste reduction content overall. And then this is just a terminology. Dark skies ordinance was the term used in 2013, and it's now called the Tucson Pima Outdoor Lighting Code. And then as far as policy feedback, we have two policies that relate to retrofitting relate to outdoor lighting. One is focused on retrofitting, and then one is focused on the code itself, I believe. And so there's people who just say that should be merged into one. And then incorporating traditional ecological knowledge, being realistic about expectations about noise pollution around airports, incorporating the importance of beautiful places and community pride, so bringing in some of those arts and culture lenses. And then environment one is like address the impacts of like water, air, and noise pollution, but we forgot to mention light pollution in that environmental one. So environment one will have that modification there as well. So that's a summary. We've heard lots of comments, but these are just some of the themes that we've heard. Some of these were mentioned more than once.
I would think one of the strongest in my mind is to talk about zero waste, because when you first hear the term zero waste, those of us who've scientific backgrounds know that it's impossible. I think there's no such thing as zero waste. But I don't know where you do that. I mean, it seems really clunky to put it in the policy, so whether in the overall description, there's a place where that it can be clear that it's means a 90% reduction.
I have flagged as putting it into the narrative, and then also potentially in the glossary if there's a definition for zero waste, making sure it shows up there as well.
Yeah. Naming the pollutants, while I think there's some real benefit to that, to bring to people's attention pollutants, and those who care about specific pollutants recognize that you knew about them and you haven't forgotten about them. It's always that dilemma of what have you left out, or what has changed since when this was first put together. So that's a really tough one to do. Maybe again it's in the glossary, that when we say this kind of pollutants, we mean such as blah 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 or something. I don't know. It's a tough.
I agree with Margot there, especially because, we're currently operating from the 2013 Plan Tucson, correct? PFAS was not even on the radars of 98% of people, probably in 2018, let alone in 2013. Even taking them out of the equation, you're going to have to leave things out and you're going to make somebody mad. So I think going the glossary or an appendix route would be a lot better for you all.
That's helpful, thank you. It's really helpful. Glossary is a good idea.
Increasing the support for code enforcement. I wonder how the logic builds around that. Can you, Amanda, you want to talk a little more about how you're looking at that?
I'm not entirely sure. Let me think about that because I think the shift in where they're housed is going to change quite a bit, just as it does when you have different leadership, different types of collaborations that open up. I don't know very much about code enforcement as it currently stands. I just know that I hear a lot of people asking for more information about why they feel that their recall wasn't responded to, or XYZ frustration between some sort of communication gap between members of the community and code enforcement. And so a lot of the solutions related, so I hear that complaint a lot, and then generally sometimes people like follow that complaint up with a suggestion that we just increase resources in the code enforcement arena. So that's all I really know is really coming from what I've heard via Plan Tucson rather than what I've experienced as and know about internal city operations.
Amanda, I just would like to mention that EGSD pulled code enforcement, got code enforcement because it was in PDSD and they weren't getting the equipment and support they needed. So they came over to them
Environmental services.
with just one ladder, not enough vehicles. They worked hard to give them some of the old Tucson water vehicles, and in general, a lot of support that they hadn't gotten for a very, very long time. So I know it's going to be back in PTSD, but you just need to know at one time PTSD did not want them. So
Yes.
code enforcement was moved around and homeless. Some of us are kind of sad to see them being moved back to PTSD. So.
Understood, and thank you for that context. Yeah, I was about to say that folks on this call, especially since there's a lot of staff from EGSD, you are all much more familiar with it than I am.
Yeah, and some of us, I've been working on code enforcement issues, going back to people who are no longer with us, and when, there were 25 inspectors
So,
and a big difference. So I don't know, are you going to get specific with that, or you said people want more support. So I don't know quite what they mean.
I've
I don't know either. I think it won't be my judgment call to make either, but if you guys have more that you want to expand on that, please do. Go ahead, Margo.
Yeah, maybe listening to those two comments, it came to me that the word support was not what I was thinking at all. I was thinking, political support, community support. What I hear this actually saying is that you need to recognize, you being the city, that in order to do a good job with code enforcement, it takes resources, it takes trucks, it takes training. It takes computer systems so that people, when they call in or check out on the website what's happening to their complaint, they can get an accurate response, knowing that there are thousands of these, Amanda. You may not realize, but there are thousands of these code enforcement complaints a year. And so it's a major data dump, data handling issue. It's not just putting out a guy with a flashlight and a book of code and maybe a ruler to see how tall the grass is, but it's much more substantial than that. So I guess when it says support, I guess I would like to see the words technical and resource support for code enforcement, so that it's not just, gosh, we all think code enforcement's great. But to do it right really needs these other aspects of it.
And training is so important. It takes people quite a few years to get to the point where they can actually, deal and look at permitting, I know several times I've said that PTSD should take care of that part of code enforcement and go back and review the permitting. So, but
So,
because
yeah,
it takes a lot of education and experience, and that's pretty hard to get right away when you've got new hires. So.
so you've got to think that they're dealing with, electrical permitting, building,
Building, yeah,
how
building,
it's building,
building
how the
ADUs.
nails are put in. You have to look at the landscaping, you have to look at the water and sewer. Heating and cooling, all of those technical aspects need to be part of that code enforcement. And so when we're looking at increased support, it's recognizing the level of knowledge and technical prowess that these people need to have. And they need to walk into a house and or a building or whatever and assess it as to whether it's going to fall down or not, or whether it's safe, or whether there's a gas leak, et cetera. So I hope
So it
you'll
gets real
increase that
complex.
support, use that support word. I hope you will give some beautiful adjectives around it to talk more about what we've just told you.
That's very helpful, absolutely. We'll be more clear with the word support and make sure it includes like resources and training and technology. And then maybe in addition to code enforcement, we can also say building inspectors.
And we'd all love to see it be more than complaint driven. So, but that's just what I've been hoping for a long time.
Understood.
Okay. All right. And anybody else want to jump in and see something you'd like to clarify or? Okay. Did you want, was there any more that you wanted to to go through with us or?
I'd be happy to go through any other sections of the plan, but this is the last piece. I just
Okay.
wanted to impart with you all just a glimpse at the next steps in terms of timeline of getting the a new draft and other opportunities for input. We have a study session tonight with the Planning Commission, and if they make a motion to move it to public hearings, we'll be releasing that revised draft in very early March, and then we'll have at least two public hearings. Currently have two scheduled. They both will be hybrid. The first one on March 12th at the Ward 2 office, and the second one at Mayor and Council Chambers. They will be, the same presentations, likely the same commission members. The reason for two is that we wanted to have multiple locations for accessibility, allow more people opportunities to make comment. And we're hoping that with them being hybrid, that will be even more accessible for folks. Dates may change because, as you all know, sometimes it can be hard to make quorum. And so that's really all I wanted to share. At this point, when Planning Commission approves it and makes a recommendation, it'll be going to Mayor and Council for public hearings, but we don't have those dates yet.
Okay.
So with that, I'd be happy to wrap up unless there was another part of the plan that you guys wanted to look at, though I also know you have other things to talk about besides just Plan Tucson, and I'll stick around to listen.
Okay. Anyone else? It seems like, I don't know, when I was going through it, it seemed like it was considered to be a done deal. So I hope that, go through it again with some of the comments for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. I know when people look at a really nearly finalized terms of design draft, it gives that impression, and we were concerned about that, but we wanted to make sure that people were looking at something that was tangible too. And I just want to assure you that we're looking at all the comments that we've gotten during the month of December and January, and we're looking at each individual one and evaluating them, and we are making changes accordingly. So, yeah, please, yeah. I feel like we've been really trying to hear from people, and we're taking all the feedback seriously.
Okay, and then if there's, and I know you guys have tried, but there's so many wards that aren't in really involved with this. They're just not getting a good turnout. I wish there was some way to get more people involved. And I know you've tried and everything, but anyhow, what is it? It's mostly from Ward 6 and what?
The
Ward
troublemakers.
three.
The last little piece of advice I would have is please have it read through at least once by a good editor to catch grammatical errors, spelling errors, and misuse of words.
Thank you. Yeah.
Margo was on the last one. She worked
Yeah.
on the
I did
the
a
old
lot of work
Plan
on it.
Tucson.
You could write like a one-page document and read it 100 times and still find errors. So I'm sure there are many. And with regards to outreach, yeah, we try to hit every ward as much as possible, and it
I
just
know.
depends on how many people come. And when we have events at El Pueblo, we usually have a very good
Oh,
turnout.
yeah.
So come down to one of our El Pueblo events and enjoy some good local Mexican food while you're at it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so
All
much.
right.
This was
Thank
very
you.
helpful, and it was a pleasure to see you all. Thank you so much for everything you do.
Have a good night.
I'll be
Yeah.
here just on video until I have to
Okay.
leave.
And I'll probably
Thanks.
be checking in on the Planning Commission tonight meeting.
Sounds great.
Okay. All right. All right. So we'll be moving on. Okay, so for item three, I'll be talking about this for full ESAC, but I just wanted to give everybody on this committee a heads up that we'd like your input. What do you think is important? Brittany sent you the form that I usually try to follow, and it's probably an ancient form, but I try to follow it as well as I can when I'm doing the reports, because I know Fred, you look at it more as with your newspaper background and your skills and experience with that. But and anyways, if you put down something that you think is really important that you really want mayor and council to know about. And that's kind of essentially what I, what I'm looking at too, is making sure that they know how hard environmental services staff works and all the things that they accomplish, for sure. So, okay.
Do we have an idea of the process we're going to do this year for putting the annual report together?
Well, if I was thinking, I know we've mentioned this before, maybe send what you have to Brittany and then Brittany can send it to me or
Okay.
it'd be ideal if we all sat around a table and everything, but I know everyone's got their own schedules.
Okay. I was just curious because I have a lot of notes for the subcommittee meetings and I can
That'd be
distill them into
great.
something.
And I know you have been taking good notes. So if you could just put some stuff together and you probably don't have to do it in as much detail as every meeting is, but once again, we're looking at, highlights, things that we think that we need to make sure mayor and council know about.
Okay, perfect. I can work on that.
Yeah, thanks. And anybody else who wants to jump in?
I just was going to add, I also think it's important to let people know that we're active because that's been one of the criticisms about boards and commissions. So I
Yeah.
always, when I was doing it, put we had 10 meetings, with an
Yes.
average attendance of blah. What,
And I always include, how we're always hurting for appointments.
Yeah. We whine
I
a
mean,
lot as well. Yes.
it's just never ending. So, because I'm just seeing a lot of people starting their own commissions and putting their own people on it, and BCCs are really important for us, all of them. There's a big list of them, and we just want to see mayor and council be supportive and appreciate what's going on. So. And let's go to item four, for waste diversion, the MRF report. And I, Christina.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We
Let
want
me
them to appreciate what
see.
you do.
Well, I tell you, we are certainly getting a lot of stuff handed to us these days.
Yeah.
Pull up the report. Right. Can everybody see that?
Yep.
Okay. So, not too many changes. The OCC looks like that went down. Prices have gone down somewhat, except for aluminum, which always stays up there, even though it's just a small bit of what we get. Again, the plastics are staying very stable because they're all going to the polymer facility. The trash were stay, stayed at 25%. I have some very good news on that front, though. We had our first quarter audit today, and the initial numbers show that our contamination rate is 19%,
Wow.
which
Wow,
puts
yeah.
us below the threshold for what we are allowed, which for at least so, we need confirmation on those numbers, but Ernesto double checked them with the MRF. And if
Cool.
that in fact is the case, then that means that for the next 3 months we won't be paying that excess residue fee. So that's an
Awesome.
extra
That is awesome.
$11,000.
Absolutely.
So
Hallelujah.
That's a
I
big
know
deal.
it is a big
Yeah,
deal.
a
Really,
really big deal. We've been
really
working for
big deal.
years for this.
I know.
So
Wow.
that's huge. So
Huge.
very happy about that.
Good news.
So any other questions
But
about this?
is there any way of knowing how it's attributed?
Why that happened? I
Yeah.
don't know. I think it's, I mean, we pick random samples. I guess we're at this point, I'm gonna say it's just the luck of the draw. We'll have to see if it holds next time to see if it's really something that's a trend, or is it just a,
Do you
one
think the
time?
Happy Bag program was helping a little bit? Or not that much?
Well, I don't know what was in the trash, what they saw in the
Yeah,
residue.
I was just wondering if people were putting
So,
plastics in that didn't belong and stuff.
right. So it's hard to know. I mean, what I heard was that they saw a lot of shred paper in the residue because it gets loose and falls through, so that so it's just hard to know what that what without knowing. But sounds like there wasn't any big problem things, like sometimes we'll get something like a microwave or a bag of concrete or something crazy.
Dead animals.
Yes.
Yeah, one of those things. Jeez.
But it just sounds like maybe there wasn't anything really out of the ordinary. So that was
Well,
probably very helpful.
maybe people are have, are starting to listen to everyone trying to educate the population on
Don't know.
what to put in your recycle bin. That would be
Yeah.
great.
In looking at this, the cardboard was up. The amount of cardboard was up. So just a little bit, but in December it was 30.2%. This time it was 30.4. Paper was up 24.8%.
Could the cardboard be up because of the holidays?
Very likely.
Yeah, very.
The tin was up 2.4%.
Do you know how many tons they audited, Christina?
That was the total tons audited was 79.26.
Gotcha. That was today, the audit.
Yeah.
Do you know how long that took?
It did not take long at all. They were probably done by 10:30.
They started at 5. One break.
Well, good news.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Any
So,
questions for Chris? Did you have some more you wanted to say?
yeah, I was just going to say the PET was up
Yeah.
quite a bit from 6.4% to 7.7. That's good. Everything else was pretty stable. So, yeah.
Well, celebrate.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was good audit. But like I said, I'm not gonna think this is the usual. We'll have to kind of wait and see what happens.
So don't hold your breath, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. So let's move on to item five for public outreach updates. And so the first topic is code enforcement.
Yes. So, as you mentioned, code enforcement has been moved to Planning and Development Services. So, when Chris, when you mentioned, that they've been moved around a lot, in November, at the end of November, I celebrated my 20-year anniversary with this
Yay.
department. I
Hardcore.
know. You guys need me to leave here soon. But at that time, code enforcement was in this department. And then they left and went to Department of Neighborhood Resources. And then they went to HCD. And then they went to PDSD. And then they came here again. And now they're going again. So that's the history, at least for the last 20 years.
Is
Well, I thought they had a home here, so with the
Well, what was the rationale for moving them again? I don't believe that one was
anybody knows.
really provided. I went to the meeting where it was announced.
Did Carlos know it was coming?
There had been some discussion of breaking, deconsolidating the department, general services, and but I don't know that he had been really been told too much about the code part. I think he knew about the plans maybe before the holidays, but yeah, he'd been, he was, but nothing had been finalized, so he didn't want to say anything till the decisions were
Yeah, for
final.
sure. Yeah, he said something to me at the Bifusion dedication,
Yeah, that's pretty much when it.
and he seemed a little surprised at that time. So, but well, we'll see.
What, given that they've been moved so often, what's the rationale? Even in the past, do they ever do they actually say what it is, or
People wanted to get rid of
I
Yeah.
think the thing with code enforcement, just this is again, just my personal opinion from having seen everything that happens. They do deal with so many different issues. They have rarely had the staffing and support that they needed. And then I think what most people, including electeds, and again, my opinion, people don't realize that the process for getting things really handled, it's a long process through court, and things just don't happen right away. And even when they get to court, the judge could say, oh, I'm going to give them more time or let them off, or
that's what he does.
Yeah. And they have no control over that.
No.
And that
sometimes takes 5 years to get a big complaint taken care of, which is ridiculous. So,
you know, and I don't think that moving them from one department to another is going to change that. So,
not a bit.
Well, we tried the Mesa idea, so
that was... Well, and I think the good thing is that they came to environmental services where they were recognized for the technical service that they provided and were given the resources they needed, like trucks and computers and uniforms and a whole series of things, which I think gave them a much better sense of esprit de corps. And I think environmental services should feel good about how they really have helped them take a more important role, and to, you know, the roles that they've taken and the working with the police, even though that didn't work out, and the others. I mean, there's been a serious effort to make them work better and to be more responsive. And I think environmental services should feel good about that.
Yeah. And Carlos worked hard to find people to hire, because just having those, you know, let's have people come to community center gatherings and apply. Most people just didn't make the cut. So, yeah. Well, we probably should move on. I know we got some more stuff going on.
Well, the good thing about it, though, is the person over at PDSD who's going to be managing code is one of our former people, Lynn Birkenbein, who is terrific. So
good.
Okay. Well, that's thank you. I'll quit being so.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the leadership at PDSD is different now. So I think, you know, that'll give you hope.
Let's hope.
I'm sure things will be different.
All right.
They got good people. Brush and Bulky by appointment. So we have piloted Brush and Bulky by appointment in two areas. One is the southwest side of town, and one is on the southeast side of town. The reasons for doing this are because we just, with the city growth the way it has gone, it's been very hard to manage the workload the way the program is structured, because we dedicate a whole week to each area. So our crews are busy 52 weeks out of the year. When they get behind, they get behind. So they have some areas where it's lighter. They can be in and out of there in 3 days, 2 or 3 days, and then and other areas, it takes them 2 weeks. And so other cities, if this is not an issue that's unique to Tucson, we've looked at other cities and what they're doing. Phoenix just started it in October. Austin, Texas just started it. Peoria, Surprise, Chandler, everybody's doing it by appointment. It's being done because communities are growing. It's not a matter of money. We could hire more crews, but we cannot find people to do these jobs. These are entry level positions. It's manual labor. And of course, they're not the highest paid positions. And so it is becoming increasingly more difficult to fill these positions. So the by appointment provides you a way to really manage your workload. Because your tonnages, you know, every week are not going to be, are not the same. And so by doing this, so we'll see how it works out. We had public meetings in both of the areas. We had a virtual meeting. Not a lot of people showed up. In Area 25, which is the southwest side, we had a pretty good turnout. And this was the area that was on the news because they went to the media because of the illegal dumping. So Brittany, just showing you the video, I think you should show the video. This is what the neighborhood's been dealing with. Every 6 months.
So these are the people that live out in the county that see that it's brush and bulky time in that neighborhood, and then they just come dump their stuff. So
yeah,
that's pretty rude, but hopefully that'll stop that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really bad. And I can't, they were at the point where they were just stop the program. We don't even want it because, it was horrible.
Just to clarify, is this just for those areas that have those high incidences of illegal dumping, or is this the direction we're moving in for all brush and bulky?
Well, again, we're piloting the other area on the southeast side does not have the same issues.
Okay.
We would have liked to pilot it in a few more areas just to kind of give us a better picture. We got the decision very late from the city manager's office to go ahead, and it was just, these were the two areas that we had gotten approval from the ward offices. And the ward offices were supporting it, for the different reasons. So,
how's that supposed to work?
So, you're still going to get your two pickups a year, but you're going to get them when you want them and you need them, and not according to when we tell you you're going to get them. You just need to call or set the appointment on the Recycle Coach app.
You know, that really came in handy when I had to empty my mom's house, because she lives in Carlsbad, California. So California has been doing that for a while. And then also, people that have a lot of trees in their yard and the monsoons come and, you're losing limbs and stuff like that. I always need help during that time period. So that's what I think it's cool about being able to call.
One of the things we heard from Peoria, we, are definitely going to be looking at this year, is we know that this is probably one of the more costly services that we provide. In Peoria, they found that this was, their participation rate on brush and bulky was about 28%. And again, one of the more costly services. So you're spending a lot of resources for a program that only 28% of your residents use. So they were very, you know, they were strongly encouraging us get your information about how many people are actually participating, because, you know, instead of sending a crew out, and you know, so they're going up and down the streets of and the whole area, they're going out to specific places because that's where they know the piles are going to be. Mm-hmm. They're not out driving around looking for them.
Okay. Well, we need to probably hustle up a little bit
okay.
here.
Okay. All right.
In a lot quickly, of stuff. Yeah,
Valentine's Day tour. We have a good turnout so far. We still have some seats if anybody's interested. Okay. And then you will be receiving an invitation, but we are going to do a little party to share the new electric garbage truck on February 26th.
You know, they really should put a picture of the that new garbage truck in Plan Tucson. They have a picture of, you know, one of our regular ones.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll suggest that.
Hopefully Amanda picked that up.
Yeah.
Christina, just send us whatever pictures you have.
We will.
It's Thank really you. Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. High resolution, please. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got some good picks.
Oh, that's I'm done.
Is that electric truck out on route yet?
Not yet. I didn't want to have the little party until it was road ready. So
there you go.
Okay, well, we're ready to party. Okay, then let's move on to item six, collections, for the collections update.
Hey, how's it going? How's everybody doing?
Yeah. We're
staying busy,
we're busy,
right?
Everything's busy. You guys are busy.
Yeah. Brittany, can I share my screen?
Yes, let me give you. All right. You should be good.
Okay. Let me know if you guys are able to see that. We'll share.
Yep. And then you need to just make it a little bigger.
Let's see if I can do that so I can fit it up. Okay.
Well.
Can you see that or?
Yeah, that's readable. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to go giant, but just.
Gotcha. So I know over the last couple of months, you know, we've been waiting for some of these side loaders. You know, we're still waiting on orders from FY23. So, you know, one of the freight liners, the crane carriers, we received it this week. Finally, we got the first one in. This got delivered on was it January the 24th. So right now it's being set up with the decals and being the registration. So we got our first one in, which is good news. We do have another seven that we're still expecting from FY23. Hopefully by the end of this week, we should be receiving another two by the end of this week. They have another one at the plant that will be shipping out here. And don't mind the 2525. It's just I'm keeping track of what's out there, and so that way I know when the last update that I got from them. So ready at the plant for shipping once, you know, get that one is ready. And then 2 weeks later after this one here, there should be another two ready. And then early March, we should be receiving, these three, we should be receiving all the vehicles by March. That's the update that I got from Fleet Services.
Cool.
So the EV truck, you already know, it's been delivered last year in September. Roll-offs, still waiting. This is for FY23, still waiting on the two roll-offs. We should have had them, you know, at the end of December, but they extended it metal. They didn't have any metal. So hopefully by the end of January, we should be getting the first one. And then shortly after that, we should be getting the second one on the roll-offs. The Perkins food waste truck, those were delivered back in September, the other one in November, and which we are using now. We're taking it out there. You know, we had a couple of issues with the unit, with the hydraulic pump, but they ended up fixing it. So now, you know, it's up and running. We're using it. We're dumping out at the landfill, and, you know, and that's all. We're using it just for the food waste. FY24, the Mammoths, Peterbilt Mammoths. We should be getting one at the end of February, and then at the end of March, we should have those three front loads. So slowly but surely, you know, we're waiting for them. It's just, yeah, it's, you know, these guys, when are we getting the trucks? When are we getting the new trucks? So little by little, but they're, you know, we should have them. So FY24, there's going to be the Peterbilt Scorpions. I just got an update from their request from Fleet Services. We should see all these here by the end of April, the additional on top of what we have up here with the crane carriers. And I'll show you guys pictures as soon as we're done with the updates. I'll send you a pic. I'll show you guys a couple of pictures of them. FY25, just waiting on signed spec sheet for also front loads. These are orders that, you know, for FY25. We did order an additional roll-offs also. It's been awarded to Spartan Trucks, so we're waiting for them to provide us with an update on the with the roll-offs. Let me switch over to, let's see. I know you guys were talking about the EV truck, and the reason we haven't been using it or we haven't got any training because we were waiting on the charging stations. We finally, I don't know if you guys can see that or.
Oh, okay.
Can you guys see that?
No.
Okay. So they finally, you know, it took a while. We had a couple of issues with electrical problems, you know, from our building over to the Blink. So, you know, right now they're up and running. We still have to go out there and so they can restripe some of these because they're made for smaller trucks. But, you know, once you get the EV truck out there, it fits perfectly on there. So we need to make an adjustment on the striping. Let me go to the next picture. This is basically what it looks like. Can you guys see that?
No. We're still looking at the.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Orders.
At the spreadsheet.
Oh, is yeah. It? Okay, I'm sorry.
There.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, let me.
There's Blink.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is what I was talking about earlier about the striping. We're going to have to restripe it. One of the things that we did, we parked the EV truck there, but it didn't fit inside the in between the lines. So we're going to have to go out there and restripe it again. Like I was saying, you know, at the beginning, TP came out here, you know, they shut down and then we ran lines and we happened to strike another electric line out there. So there was a hold up to get the this completed. But this is what it looks like. I'm not sure if you can. So these are the two charging stations that were here. One of the things that this is where we'll be charging the EV trucks, and then we'll be able to, well, the side loader EV truck, and we'll be able to charge some of the Lightning trucks that we have here in the that the supervisors are using. This is what it looks like up in the front. We do have cards for them. Basically, it's like an RFID card that we use. We scan it. And then wherever the lines are connected, it picks up on it. And then, you know, it's a quick charge. What takes us, you know, on the outlet sometimes, you know, if it's a 110, if we're charging one of our Lightning trucks, the smaller vehicles, it can take up like a day and a half just to get them charging. Oh. That's out of 110. With this, in 40 minutes, it gives you a 90% battery charge on them. And then I know you guys were asking for pictures this morning. I went out there and I didn't even know that they had added the new logo here up on the side of the EV truck. This is the EV truck. I think when I showed it to you guys, I had nothing on it.
Right.
This
right.
is what it has on there now.
Cool.
All right. beside me.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then this is the new vehicle that we just received last week. It's basically the same truck, except if you look right behind the cab, that this is where the batteries are at. And on the other truck, the newer truck, this is where, you know, we have the radiator. And I'm not too sure what this big one, but it has nothing to do with batteries. But this is what the new truck looks like. And this is the one that we just received. So, you know, they added the decals, and, you know, now we have to wait for registration. You know, they got to send it up to Phoenix. Phoenix comes down, so that way they can make sure that it's a CNG truck. They come out here, they check the tanks just to make sure that it is a CNG truck.
What's sticking out over the behind the cab there, like a muffler?
Muffler, it looks like.
This is the air filter. Yeah, it's an air filter. So it's just there, and then the filter's down here. I don't know if you can see my cursor or not.
Yeah, I can, but the pipe itself,
Yeah, it's connected here, and then it goes all the way up. So it's taking fresh air. It's breathing fresh air.
Okay.
And it's a picture from the backside of it. So slowly but surely, but we're receiving these units, you know, hopefully, you know, we're up and running, and we have all our vehicles by the end of April, crossing my fingers. You know, we've been expecting these trucks for some time now. So we'll see what happens. Do you guys have any questions?
Just in the news. Time.
When do we get to order another one?
All righty. So should we move on real quick? We're getting close to 4:30. So Frank, is Frank still here? There you are. Right. The landfill.
Am I up?
Yeah, you're up.
Okay. So I'll be brief. I just want to let everyone know that we did order a new D6. A dozer. It's a smaller one. We use D9s in our trash area. This one is more of a support unit to help us push the soil, to cover the lifts, things like that. Cost of that is $180,000. $180,000, yes. And
580? Or
$580,000.
Oh, wait. Oh, an 80. Okay. That's good.
A little bit over half a million. Then also just want to mention to everyone, I think we do not know that ES and GS is being broken apart to be two separate departments. Part of that and part of my responsibilities have been for a while is also oversight of our environmental compliance unit, which involves other landfill compliance and also some of the citywide environmental compliance. And that's those are the tasks that I was doing before I became the administrator. And so then part of that, those environmental compliance responsibilities are going to move over with general services, so they won't stay with environmental services.
Oh, okay.
And some of that, you know, what we're keeping on environmental services side is all the compliance, environmental compliance that has to do with the landfills, not only the operational here at Lake Travis operations, but also the closed landfills. So we'll still be doing all the monitoring of the closed landfills, and of course our Lake Travis here. Some of the other environmental compliance responsibilities that are moving over are, for example, air quality permits for other facilities that the city runs. And most of those are where they have food burning equipment. Our wastewater compliance is also moving to general services. Our brackets program is moving over to general services. And but primarily, those are the main.
Okay.
Then other than that, just we were, myself, some of my staff members were up at the compost, the USCC compost conference up in Phoenix. That was last week. We were able to obtain some good information. Hopefully we'll be able to implement a lot of that here. One of the days was the demonstration of equipment, the grinders and the screeners, because we are also looking at possible purchasing some equipment that gets budgeted so that we can expand our compost site. I can move on to the bifusion. Anyone has questions on anything that I talked about right now?
Yes.
What kind of equipment do you need to purchase?
Well, we're looking at possibly purchasing a grinder for our green waste diversion, because we use all our green waste in the composting. And we're also possibly looking at purchasing a screen. So once the compost is completed and it's ready, then we can screen it so that we can get the fine compost that we're producing. What we're currently doing is we are renting. We contract with a company that comes in and does the grinding for us. And then we contract where the last time we rented a screen, we brought that screen in and screened our own compost.
Okay.
So on bifusion, of course, everyone might know already when we did the groundbreaking on January 15th. It went well as well. I'm not sure if you see on your hand. I'm not sure what happened. The bifusion folks were here, some council members, and ESAC leaders. Also, as far as the bifusion plastics go, in December, we started. If you're aware, I'm sure you're all aware that there's a lot of contamination with our bunch of recycled plastics. So people are using clear bags and using other bags, dark bags, in the orange ones. So those containers are not coming here to the landfill, and we are separating all the orange bags from the rest of the materials. Mm-hmm. So only shipping orange bags, bifusion, have to renew bags to Freedman, where they are now bailing just those materials. And unfortunately, all the other contaminants were treating as contamination and you're just going into the film. So as the program moves on, we're hoping that the people will understand that they can only put the orange bags in the orange bags.
Well, you know, I was dropping my orange bags off and I saw this guy put just a bunch of loose styrofoam in the bin. So I spent at least 10 minutes educating him. And he acted like he just didn't know, but I just, how can you go up to the orange bin and see everything written on the side? And I just don't get it. So.
And not follow the instructions, because instructions are clearly there.
Yeah. Okay.
So what percentage would you guess, you know, 50%, 20%, 10% are non-orange bags?
So we have looked at that. And it's about one third are actually orange bags.
Yeah. I love first report that Cassandra sent, it was 17% was orange bags.
About 17% of that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, say that again. 17% were the orange bags?
Oh, that's not good.
Was it 17% was orange bags?
In the roll-offs? Or where?
Yes.
In the roll-offs that bring, where people drop off their materials at in our seats.
At the wards. And, right. Yeah.
Wow.
It varies. Sometimes you get a good load, but overall, that's been the average. Activities that have happened that have been going on since December on Bifusion Fund is that the historical bales that Freeman brought to us that had quite a bit of contamination, those were shipped off Bifusion. It has a partner somewhere in Texas, and so they were actually receiving or shipping these bales from here and were going to Texas. Moving forward, because we are doing the separating ourselves here now, we won't have those contaminated bales. They'll just be, they have to renew bags, and those are going to go directly to my future.
Is the contamination consistent? I mean, is it like similar items that you see all the time, or is there different types of contamination? Like, are you seeing, I don't know, certain types of is there a contaminant that you see all the time, or is it just a variety of contaminants?
It's a variety of contaminants, but a lot of it is just loose items that could go through Bifusion, but they're not in the containers, are not in the orange bags where they should be. And we just don't have the staff to start, going through the entire container and separating and saying, well, this one's good or this one shouldn't go here. And we just have to do it quickly when they come in and separate. Just we have to renew bags, and the rest of the materials are being pushed into the filling.
So would it be more cost effective to have people at the collection sites doing that rather than at your end, though understanding that you can quickly push it into the landfill? But I'm just trying to think about the time and the people who are doing this work.
Well, it would take a lot more staff time, because we'd have to pretty much staff with NRC around the clock. And right now they're open 24/7. So we couldn't possibly have somebody there at any time.
Do you think that once, Bifusion's out at Los Reales, that they could hire people to help man the drop-off areas?
Are you talking about when the roll-offs come here?
Well, no, once the Bifusion is all set up at Los Reales.
Oh, yes. Once they're set up, then the containers are going to go directly into the facility, and they'll be sorting out their own materials. We won't be pre-sorting anymore once they are set up.
Oh, okay.
So, but Bifusion will be sorting.
Correct. Bifusion will be sorting themselves. And so at that point, they'll have the people there to know what they mean to separate and what they don't want to.
Okay.
And maybe they could hire people to be at the drop-off.
Well, I guess they'll have to make that evaluation to see what's... I mean, the other thing is to start closing the drop-offs at 6 or 7 or something, the fact that they're open 24/7 is a real service to the citizen, but it certainly is causing a lot of grief in terms of what the impact is.
Right. And from now to when Bifusion gets set up, things might change with the NRC. Right. And so there's plus, and there's the potential here to make improvements.
I'm curious, are you seeing bags of garbage when those loads show up also?
I haven't heard that we've seen bags of garbage.
No? So it's just the wrong plastics.
Wrong plastics.
Yeah. Wish cycle. All right.
It's really just that they're not in the hefty renew bags, which at this time, that's the only outlet we have for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can we get some foundation to supply extra hefty Renew bags so that people who really do have the right thing but don't have the money, don't have the ability to find the orange bags could, you know, rebag? I mean, is there any solution to, other than just, you know, pushing it in the landfill?
You know, we give away a lot of bags.
Yeah, I know you
keep
do.
We
I do
keep
too.
Providing them to the ward office. I buy them, you know, and I give them to the ward office, and Alyssa takes them with her when she goes to just check on the sites or drop off her own stuff. And she's offered them to people, and some people just refuse them because, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, just want to dig in their heels, and it's like, I'm not going to do it because I refuse to do it.
Yeah. No. Okay.
That's too bad. Well, is that all, Frank?
That's all I have.
Thank you.
That's a lot.
Thank you. That's a lot. It is. Let's move on to item 8, future agenda items for the next meeting. Do any of you guys have any ideas?
How, I guess one would be this pilot program that you're doing for the Brush and Bulky. When will you do an evaluation of how well it's working? I guess kind of what's the timeline, or did I miss that somehow?
Well,
what's the timeline, and then when will it be offered to the rest of the city, or, you know, kind of what's your thinking along that line?
Well, we'll be keeping track of everything as we go along. I would imagine that we'll be, you know, doing like quarterly evaluation just to see, you know, how many calls we get, you know, what it's looking like. So we've already had people setting up, so. So far, everything's going well. But, you know, we'll definitely report back to you as we find the information. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know if everybody heard the news, but we have a new deputy director.
Oh.
Starting on Monday.
Oh, don't, yeah.
And his name or her name is?
It's a gentleman by the name of Pat Tapia.
Oh!
Oh.
Yay!
What did you say?
Pat's back!
Did you say Pat's
oh
coming back?
Pat's
yes!
Back.
Wow.
Oh. All right.
Now that's got to be a good welcome party.
Well, you saved the best for last.
I did.
Oh. Well, we've gotten some good news. So this is
two
been a pretty good meeting. Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you. All right, let's
so what's environmental general services, which is all the buildings and especially the garage and all that stuff.
HVAC, all the trades, fleet, facilities. Okay.
Yeah. All that's gone to someone
yes.
else.
Okay.
And did that take the general director that had been sort of doing it, that assistant that?
Ray went with them, and then they also appointed somebody as the director.
Okay.
All right.
So does Carlos look about 20 pounds lighter? Or?
I'm sure that having. Good. That's going to take a lot of stress off of his.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
That'll
Jeez. Okay. Job. Well, let's go quickly to item 9 called audience. Do we have anyone? No. And finally, Item 10, adjournment at 4:41. So we got a lot taken care of. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. See you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Yes, Amanda, thank you.
Yeah.
Good luck to the Planning Commission. Okay.
Have fun with them.
Yep. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. See you later.